Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
Diane Daniels has had a more than one career, I would say. She has been a journalist. She's been a public relations professional. She is the executive director now of the East Hills Consensus Group, which is a volunteer group that addresses community issues in that part of Pittsburgh. And back in the day, she was the first black reporter hired at the McKeesport Daily News. We're going to ask her about all of these things. But first of all, we're going to say good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I'm just excited.
Thank you for taking some time to talk with us. You grew up in McKeesport, is that correct?
Born and raised, graduated from McKeesport High School.
And then you went on to Wilberforce University in Dayton, I believe.
Right. Wilberforce University. It's actually in Wilberforce, Ohio, and it's right in between Columbus and Cincinnati, Dayton.
Tell me about
in that area.
Tell me about growing up in McKeesport in those days. What part of town and what was it like?
Well, I grew up in what then they called the Hill District because I'm a little older, so I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and I never really thought about it, but now that I think about it, I grew up in an interesting time there. Went to school from kindergarten, Centennial, which isn't even there anymore. The building is still there, but it's not
a school anymore.
From Centennial to McKeesport Junior High, which isn't there anymore, and then to the senior high school. And at that time, even the senior high school, it was the senior high school and Voc Tech. And we kind of migrated in between the two during lunchtimes and everything. But as I think back, you know, in the 60s and the 70s, mostly the 60s, I grew up at a time, at an interracial time, but McKeesport was so different. When I come over now and travel downtown and I look at the downtown when we did not have to go anywhere. Most people now go to Pittsburgh, they go to the malls. We did not have to do those things. I remember when we went to Pittsburgh, we would catch the train. My grandmother would dress us up, have on our little Bobby socks and gloves. We had to wear gloves. It was just totally different. And we would get on the train and the bus. The train station was there. And we'd ride down to Pittsburgh and shop. That was just a treat. Even to go to Squirrel Hill, because we didn't have to do those things. We had Jason's and Fox's, Emeralds, Goodman's, and those Balsamo's at one time, which was the grocery store, had the best chocolate chip cookies. So those were good times. National Record Mart, I still have my records and albums from buying back at that time at the National Record Mart, GC Murphy's and everything. So I remember those as good times and going to church. My church is still there, Zion Baptist Church, but we went to church there. But our elders, I think about my elders all the time, the people that from church. And even when I see some of them now, I just smile and everything. And now as I get older, I mean, it was in a racial time. I was in the civil rights movement. And at that time, I didn't recognize it.
I was just going to say, did you know as a teenager that you were part of this historic era?
Just a little bit. No, I guess I didn't really recognize it, but I remember when Martin Luther King and JFK was killed and what it meant to my parents, aunts, and grandmother. I remember that. And I remember watching it on TV because then TV was black and white. And we all gathered around the TV and watched that. And I think about that now. And the part that really resonated to me, I love Chinese food, still do, but grew up on Chinese food. And I would go with my father, and we would go into this Chinese place, and we walked, and we always had to go to the back door. And one day I was just thinking, and it was like, wow, we're going into the back door at a Chinese restaurant. And that's when I really realized it. And when I was in grade school, third grade, it was mostly very few
So
African Americans.
let me ask you, I'm sorry to interrupt. Diane Daniels is our guest this morning. She's been a journalist, public relations coordinator, and also is currently executive director of the East Hills Consensus Group. So they were making you go to the back doors, and we're not talking ancient history. We're talking the 1960s, and we're not talking the deep South Alabama. We're talking McKeesport, Pennsylvania. I just
Oh
wanted to make
yeah,
that point. That's all.
yes,
Okay.
yes. And this is in the 60s. Yep. So when I thought about that, I said, wow, you did grow up there. And now as I think about it, and it still is, and I never really wanted to say racist, but it still is. Our whole area is when you think about it. But when I was in the third grade, because where I lived then, very few blacks lived in the area where I lived that was mostly Italians and Jews. My neighbor, she used to fix cookies for us, and we were going across the street. And I remember one of my neighbors, he was a Jewish guy, and it was only two of us then that lived where I lived, three families that lived where I lived. So at that time, it was myself and my friend, who is still my friend today. She lives in Atlanta, but she's still my friend today. My last name was Daniel, so I was in the front. Her last name was Williams, so she was in the back. But we were friends. We had to be friends. And we still are. We would run, go up and down Spring Street and Jenny Lind Street to go to the stores, because those streets still existed in such a different way than what they exist today. Spring Street doesn't even
Isn't even open
exist
anymore.
today. No, not anymore. But originally, I remember one of the first streets living on was Grant Street. And I haven't been down that street in a while, but I don't even think that that exists too much anymore. So it's changed. But when I think about it, I don't think about the bad times because my life wasn't bad. My dad worked in the Duquesne steel mill most of my life. All my kid life, so, and I had other siblings, so it was different, and I think back on that now, and of course, that's why I am who I am today.
Diane Daniels is our guest this morning. Last year, Mayor Ed Gainey presented her with the Distinguished Neighbor Servant Leader Award from the City of Pittsburgh and City Councilman Carrie Mosley of the 9th Council District. Diane is Executive Director of the East Hills Consensus Group. She grew up in McKeesport, and that's what we're talking about right now. She also was, and as a former newspaper reporter myself and someone who worked at the Daily News back in the day, she was the first black reporter at the McKeesport Daily News. So I wanted to pick her brain a little bit about that and find out about that experience. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had a couple of professors on who've written a book about Mal Good, who was the first black network TV correspondent for ABC News, and they talked about how Jackie Robinson helped him get his job at ABC. And I understand that not Jackie Robinson, but some prominent McKeesporters helped you get your job at the Daily News. Is that accurate?
Yep, that's accurate. When I graduated from high school, I always knew I wanted to write from a junior in high school. I remember sitting in my classroom one time, and the teacher was challenging us to write. Well, back in that time, I used to wear a Black Power fist and glasses because, the Black Panthers was prominent then. And Angela Davis. Angela Davis always wore this big fro. And if you know that history back then, so because I was in McKeesport, my mom wouldn't let me wear a fro or whatever. So that was my identity. So sitting in that class, and the teacher had mentioned about blacks being worth three-fifths of a man. It was like, whoa. So that's really how I started. So I wrote my essay on that topic. And Dr. Major Mason had a newspaper then called Now Newspaper, and he published it. And it was like, wow, my mom, all my relatives, they were all proud and everything. And at that time, I knew that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a journalist. But I, as growing up, I always envisioned myself carrying a business bag. So those things were always in my mind. So I told my mom when I graduated, you know, I'm going to come back and be the first black to write for the McKeesport Daily News. And she said, okay. And so when I went to college, I would come back. But two people played significant roles in my life was Hazel Garland and her husband, Percy Garland, because I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I didn't know that word at the time. All I knew, I wanted to be a business owner.
We have a break to take when we come back, because I'm so glad that you brought them up, because I had Hazel Garland in mind when you were talking. So let's take a quick 30-second break and let's pick it back up there, if that's okay. Okay.
Sure.
Diane Daniels is our guest this morning. She's a public relations professional, a journalist, and executive director of the East Hills Consensus Group. We're talking to her about growing up in McKeesport and some of the barriers that she helped to break down. We're going to pick up the story. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
Welcome back. Diane Daniels is our guest. She is a resident of Pittsburgh's East Hills, grew up in the McKeesport area, was the first black reporter for the McKeesport Daily News, and she has done a tremendous amount of work in community development in the Manchester area. She was business writer for the New Pittsburgh Courier. She countless awards and honors, and has also sat on a number of nonprofit boards around the area. Last year was honored by Mayor Ed Gainey of the City of Pittsburgh with the Neighbor Servant Leader Award. When I interrupted you, you were talking about someone who I'm glad you mentioned, which is Hazel Garland, who was a prominent writer for the Pittsburgh Courier and was from McKeesport, and also her husband, Percy, who I believe was a prominent photographer, did a lot of fashion photography and professional photography in the McKeesport area. Talk to me about the Garland family.
Well, I knew them just as you had said, but I always would know Hazel Garland because she was a writer and she was with the Courier, the editor of the Courier. And I would always, you know, read her stuff in the Courier, and it was like, oh my goodness. So back then, you know, you knew people. So she lived in an area that we never even really went to, down on, I think they called it 10th Ward, but it was further down Walnut Street. But we would see her. And I remember one day when I had said, you know, Miss Garland, I like to be a writer. And she would say, oh, yeah. But when I would walk past her husband's studio and he was a businessman, it was like, whoa, they're both doing something that I want to do. So I went to her house one day and she had all these awards on her wall and the newspapers. And I said, whoa, I'm going to be like this. And she looked at me and she said, you know, you have the desire, but if you work hard, you can. And it was like, okay. So those things always stuck in my mind. So when I went to Wilberforce, and one of the first groups that kind of was presented was their newspaper. So I joined the newspaper there, and Wilberforce was 1856. It's one of the oldest HBCUs, one of the oldest because it was the first HBCU in the North. One of the first. The historic underground goes through there and everything. So it's a h historic college. So I would come home once or twice. But when I got there, I never wanted to come home. My mom never could understand why I did not want to come home. But I was so engrossed in it. And once I started writing for the Courier, it was funny because I'm an underclassman. And they said, well, the first thing you're going to do, you're going to mop these floors, sweep these floors. And that was okay. But I learned. But I just learned from the upperclassmen, the editor. So I worked myself from the bottom to the top. So from washing and cleaning floors, and I became the editor of the Wilberforce Mirror. And I met many people there. Music was one of the things I was into because my dad was a musician. So music and entertainment was always in my blood. So I used to do entertainment. So I started photography classes there as well with my journalism. So I would just go different places in the upper class when they had cars. So we would go. And so I started meeting people, and two people, groups that I met and covered. One was George Benson, and the other one was Larry Graham from, he was a part of Sly and the Family Stone. Okay. Mm-hmm. So those were two groups that I covered. I had to go to Dayton. So I always had a camera and your pen. Because when Jimmy Carter passed, I have this note, this book that I kept with my Wilberforce stories and my Daily News stories. One of the last stories, great stories that I did was on Jimmy Carter, because as the editor of the newspaper, he had sent a letter and invited us to the White House. When I got that letter, went to the president of the school then, and he said, sure, you could go. And so when I told my mom, they sent me money for clothes. I was dressed properly. They flew me to D.C., sent me in the limo, and I went and, you know, was a part of the Jimmy Carter story. I got that now. And when he passed, I said, wow, look at this. Those things let me know, yes, this is what I want to do. So once I graduated and I came back, and Judge Cynthia Baldwin and her husband, Art, always have been a part of my life. She was my Sunday school teacher. And between them and Major Mason, they fought to get me into the Daily News. So I was there from 1974 to 1975, because that was an interesting time. During the Daily News, they had sent me one time to North Huntington to cover a story, because I was a beat reporter, yeah, so I sure had to do anything. But, you know, we got a car. And when I went to cover their story for them, because the regular reporter was sick, and when I went in there, and they looked at me, and then I only weighed about 100 pounds. And then I did have a fro, because my mother then, you know, she couldn't say.
She had no, she couldn't tell you no.
And so when I went there, and I was sitting there, and I was looking around, and they were looking at me, and one guy came up and said, where's so-and-so? I said, oh, he's not here today. And they said, well, you can't be here. And why is that? I'm the reporter. And they say, because no N-words are allowed here. I picked up my stuff. I got in that car and I left and went, came back home. And the our deadline was about 7 in the morning. Yeah. So I went down, and when I went and told the editor, I can't even remember who it was. And when I told him, they couldn't understand what I was telling them, why I didn't stay there. They were just interested in the story. And so it was like, well, okay. So I stayed there for a while until one time a gentleman called me from the Manchester Citizens Corporation. Because they knew me, and I was freelancing for the Courier at that time, because I always wanted to write for the Courier. So I was freelancing sports, taking pictures, and entertainment. I would just get on the 61C or the 56 bus.
I need to interrupt you again, because you said a couple of things there that we could do the whole half hour on, and we're not able to. Number one is you had one of the worst experiences that really someone can have. We're talking with Diane Daniels. She's a journalist, community activist, community leader, currently is executive director of the East Hills Consensus Group. And we were talking about her experience in the 1970s as the first Black reporter at the McKeesport Daily News. You came back now, because I've had that experience. In fact, I used to cover North Huntington as a beat reporter. So I'm there. Like, I can see exactly where you were. But you went in there just doing your job, and they told you you're not welcome. And you came back just like I would have come back and talked to the city desk, or the rim, we used to call it, because they used to all sit around in a circle, and said, they threw me out. And they were mm-hmm. like, well, but why didn't you get the story?
Right.
They weren't they concerned about the fact that you were horribly insulted, but you didn't come back with the story about the township meeting. That's something. And you just kept talking like that was nothing. That was just would it be a story in itself. Yeah. And they didn't see that. Next thing I want to ask you is, you know, you were a woman covering sports. And even today, there aren't that many women sports writers.
Right. Well, my dad always was into sports, and I loved sports. So in order for me to understand and do sports, I was in the band. So because I was in the band, we would have basketball games and football games. I played clarinet, but really later I wound up being like the flag girl and everything. But the reason why I was in the band and stuff was so I could attend the games. So I understood the games and I knew what was going on and everything. And for the courier, I just did little things, but it was mostly the photography and everything that they wanted. But yep, you know, one thing I would always tell young people, get to learn and do as many things as you can, because you never know when they're going to come back and how you use them. Because once I left the Daily News in 1975 and went to the Manchester Citizens Corporation, what I am doing now is what I learned back then in 1975.
Let's pause right there and let's pick it up on the other side. When we come back, I want to talk about what your work has been as a community development specialist, as an activist, and as someone who is helping to build consensus in neighborhoods, okay?
Sure.
We'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striffler's has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striffler's offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striffler's also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at strifflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
Back for a final few minutes with Diane Daniels. She is a writer, a community activist, a community leader, a neighborhood consensus builder. Right now, she is executive director of the East Hills Consensus Group. You left journalism, although you were still freelancing, and went into community development with the Manchester Citizens Corporation, correct? And is that more or less has been your track since then?
Yes.
Yeah.
I never really left journalism until I would say COVID, because I was with the Courier. After I did that part, I became their beat. I just did business. And that's how I've met most of the people in the area, just doing business. And through the Courier, I've met two more presidents, Clinton and President Obama. And I also had the opportunity to go travel to Africa, just covering stories for people. So I've met a lot of people through the Courier. But at the same time, having a PR firm, you know, the Courier really, I never really wrote for them. I always freelanced for them, because when I wanted to write for them, I went to them and the Daily News at the same time. And the Courier had turned me down, but the Daily News took me. And then when they wanted me, then it was too late. So it was like, oh. So I always freelanced for them. So I had the opportunity just to travel different places and do a lot of things.
Let me ask you a question, because I think for younger people, it's hard to even explain. Before there was Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, how important historically were these local newspapers, the Daily News in McKeesport, the Courier in the Black community? The Courier, of course, had a national reputation, but especially here in the Pittsburgh area, Homestead had a paper, Clareton had a paper, all these towns had a paper. How important were they in kind of unifying and pulling the neighborhoods and the communities together?
Well, they were very important. Even though you mentioned those other papers, the Daily News at that time was still the paper.
I think every other house in McKeesport got the Daily News at one point, like 50% of the houses. It was just crazy. at one point.
Oh, yeah. Then all you had to do, they had paper boys, and then you could go and go down and pick them up at different places. The daily news to this day is still needed, even though we have social media, because the older people, the obituaries, the sports. My dad, before he passed at Kane, he still read the daily news. The sports was very important to him. So, yes, the newspaper, yeah, they're still important. Even though they're more obsolete. And you're right, the Courier is historic. No matter where I went, people knew it. When I said I was with the Courier, I received much respect because the people knew it. But so I've always written until COVID, because that was just the way to always tell the stories. But the community development work that I learned was very important, because one of my neighbors, Miss Bernice Vaughn, she used to always say, always remember where you came from and take care of your community. Those words stick to me every day. I love where I live. When I come to McKeesport, my heart cries. I would love to do things over there, but I've learned through time, Diane, you cannot do everything. So East Hills is where I live. So East Hills is where I strive to take care of and help grow and maintain the community.
When they say grow where you're planted, I think is sometimes what they say. So you're planted right there in East Hills. What are some of the things that the Consensus Group is doing in the last couple minutes that we have today?
One of the most important things is to maintain the community, because we're a pretty stable community. So I'm trying to maintain the community and change the image. PR, you know, is my thing. Changing the image. When people think East Hills, they think negative. But great people live in East Hills, have come from East Hills. Like Chuck Cooper, his wife lived across the street from me. And the house is there, and the son now, well, he was the first Black inducted into the, well, he played basketball. He was the first Black basketball player to play for the NBA. So the house still exists, and his son is trying to make it a museum. So East Hills is a great place and has great people living here. So just maintaining it, making sure that the elderly still have their legacy. So I'm just trying to do like Miss Vaughn said, take care of the community. We have youth here, so I'm trying to make sure they understand and doing some of the things that they're supposed to be doing.
You do have a website. It's at easthillsconsensusgroup.org. Do you need help? Do you need volunteers? Do you need donations? What does the East Hills Consensus Group need?
Oh, yeah. Well, we always need help. Like, that's one of the things. You mentioned our website, so I'm trying to get that together. And I'm trying to make sure that our social media is in the right way. And of course, we always need money. We had a major fire in our community during Christmas. We had a flood in the community during Thanksgiving. It's like, whoa. So we're a small community, and we're always looking for funding and volunteers. Yes, if a person is young, sure, I want them to volunteer, because my job is to serve as a mentor, to cool them up and be able to teach them like people have taught me along my way. That's why McKeesport will always be special to me. It's home.
EastHillsConsensusGroup.org is the website. Also on Facebook at East Hills Consensus Group. The phone number is 412-770-5263. Diane Daniels has been our guest. She has been a journalist, an activist, a public relations specialist, winner of the Distinguished Neighborhood Servant Leader Award last year from the City of Pittsburgh. Diane Daniels, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us today.
Ooh, I am just so happy to be here. Happy that you invited me, and you keep up the good work and for what you're doing.
Thank you very much. I wasn't fishing for compliments, but if they jump in the boat, I'll take them. And thank you all for listening this morning to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link.
You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at TubeCityTiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.